Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
I love that voice. That's a dear friend of mine, Karen, who did the commercial when I was on this radio. But anyways, I haven't been on for a couple of weeks, everyone. I know you've been missing me terribly. Anyways, this is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. But I took a kind of break, you know. Sometimes you just, you know, I was doing two a week and every week, and sometimes you just need to take a break and get fresh, and so I'm back, and I've got my schedule all set now for every week, so you're going to hear me every week now. Anyways, the site, StarPsychics.com, is being redesigned. We're close. You know, I'm very picky about my background, as everybody knows, and I want it to look a certain way, and I've been not battling with my webmaster, but he just doesn't get it. He's not a designer. He's a coder. So I've got a gal in Africa, believe it or not, who is working on that for me, and we finally have got it. And I'm losing my voice, and I don't know why, so I better get some water here. But anyways, she's close to getting what I want, and it'll be up with new things, and I'm so excited. Let me get some water here before I bring my guest on, because I cannot talk. Talking too much, or you know what they say, when you start to lose your voice, you need to tell somebody off. That's what I heard years ago. But anyways, okay, I get my water. And I'll also get some honey. Oh, see, that's better right away. Anyways, we're close to doing that. We still offer the first 3 minutes are free. First-time clients, of course. You can't just, you know, come in and get 3 minutes. You have to be a new client. And, of course, my magazine, my precious magazine that I always thought to be my dark horse, believe it or not, many years ago. I thought, oh, you know, I don't know how this is going to be, but come to find out, I always had this feeling that it would come from behind, and it has. It's really a wonderful thing, and I have people that contribute all from all over the world, and that's what's so precious about it. You know, you can't, in the beginning, believe it or not, I used to beg people, send me something, send me an article, send me something. Now I don't have to do that at all. I get some that will contribute, some publishing houses that will do, send me three things and four, all different authors and all of that. So please go see it. The new issue went up on the 1st, and I still have a couple more things to put in, but I haven't gotten them yet because, believe it or not, and my author is going to laugh at this, the publisher said to me, well, the author was having a meltdown because she had too much for me to send to you. A meltdown. Oh, God. So temperamental, I guess, this person was. Anyways, without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest in who's done so many things, written so many books. My goodness, she's a Reiki master, crystal Reiki master. She's written so much. Oh, my goodness. All these books, we were just talking about it. She did 1, 2, 3 past year alone. Anyways, let's welcome Karen Fraser. How are you today, Karen?
I'm very well, and I'll tell you, I don't have time to have meltdowns and be temperamental. So.
Oh, you know, and I've known this lady for years, and she wrote me, she says, can you believe that? I'm supposed to Zoom with this person. Then they canceled it. I said, well, just send it to me when you can. A meltdown? I mean, but you know, there are some, Karen, that like this one person who has an ad on the site, on my magazine, and a classified, and then a review, and then he submitted an article. He wanted to see the review before I put it up. I said, fine. You know, and he wrote me back. He said, I can't believe how beautiful it is. And I thought to myself, well, I could have told you that, but you wanted to see it. But some people are like that. You know, they are, you know, you just respect it. I mean, I've been doing this. The magazine has been around since 1999. I started it. So I don't,
wow.
You know, nothing surprises me. So it's a long time. So, you know, I don't really worry about it. I'll do it. And so anyways, that's the story there. Anyways, okay, so I want to start at the beginning of Karen's life. How did you always write as a real young girl? Some people write as little kids. I mean, 8, 9 years old. They're jotting things down. They're journaling, believe it or not. How did you get your feet wet into this?
I started as a very young child. So I was a reader, and readers are often writers, and writers are often readers. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can write well if you don't read. And I come from a family of writers and artists and musicians. So very, and I do think things like that are hereditary. I think it's embedded in our DNA, and also it's embedded in our interest system. So like my grandfather was a sports writer and was a sports editor for our local paper. And my mom used to help him write his column. And so long line of artists, writers, musicians. And when I was a kid, that was how I expressed myself. I wrote poetry. I wrote short stories. I wrote in a journal. I just, anything that I could, time I could get words down on paper, I was happy to do so. And that's how I started. I've done it all my life. Every job I've ever had in my life, I turned into a writing job. It is my calling.
Well, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, you know, why do I do what I do? But way back when I'm thinking, I was creative, not with writing, but just creative, like making things fall into place for everybody. Like, just very organized. And the one job I had, I started out at the desk, and the owner came up and he said, well, he leaned over, he said, you're not just a desk person. And I thought to myself, well, and I'd never done this before either. I mean, I kind of fell into that job, but you don't fall into anything, you know, it's all divine,
right.
Order, as you know. And he said, come in my office. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to fire me. No, he didn't do that. He wanted to be the tennis director alongside the head pro. Well, I mean, that just blew me away. But, you know, I handled it very well. What I do now, like with putting together the magazine, everybody thinks it's such a big deal. To me, it's not. It's easy. When you've done it as long as I have, it kind of falls into place. But look at you. You know, writing since you were small like that, I mean, I have a fairy tale that I'm trying to – I mean, I started it – but maybe, Karen, is that why I can't put it together? Because I wasn't a writer. But I was a reader as a little girl. I read
maybe
higher than my level, always.
Yeah, but
And I could talk about the book to the teacher. But I don't know. It's strange how our path, where it takes us, right? We get on a path. Like for you, you started doing things, and every job you had, you ended up being some kind of a writer. I look back at mine and I don't know sometimes. I mean, somebody would have to tell me, I guess, but I certainly love what I do. I really, really do. I think, I hope everybody does something that they love, because if they don't, then it's really pretty bad. You know, and I get take a lot of pride in everything, you know. But, okay, so tell me now your first book. I'm going to see, do I have it all here? I don't even know. Do I have all your books here? Oh, I do. Oh, my. Was your first one Dancing with the Afterlife?
That was my second book. My first one was Avalanche of Spirits.
Okay.
And then Dancing with the Afterlife was a follow-up on that. I had done some other things before that I were like book-length works, but I never turned them into books. And Dancing with the Afterlife happened accidentally. I never knew it was going to be a book. it was going to be an article for a newspaper, for a magazine, for Paranormal Underground magazine, which turned into an obsession, which turned into an attempt at a documentary, which turned into a book, which is exactly what it was supposed to do.
Oh, I love the title. That's my thing. Anything like that. And you're a medium also, right?
I am. And it was, I knew it when I was younger that I was a medium, but I disbelieved it. I disbelieved it a lot because it didn't fit with my logical brain and it didn't fit with my religious upbringing. And so when actually Avalanche of Spirits is about a haunted location. And this is where I actually came to a place where I couldn't deny my mediumship abilities anymore. It was very clear to me that I was a medium. And that was when I really started working with all of this and my life instantly got better.
Well, okay. So the mediumship came when you were really young. Now, what about becoming a Reiki master? Mm-hmm. That follows?
I did Reiki. It was something that I'd always been. So I've always been sort of floating around on the fringes of this, right? And I'm sure it's because I had these things happen when I was younger. And so I always wanted to believe in these things. But like I say, I couldn't get there based on my religious upbringing and based on my critical thinking brain, which I had to learn to turn off a little bit. Now I've turned it back on and I recognize it fits within critical thinking. But when I was younger, I just didn't understand that. And so I liked the mediumship. It was something I've always been interested in. Like the first time I ever heard about it, I was fascinated. I read about it whenever I could. And probably right around the same time as I wrote that first book, I also thought, you know, I have been interested in this for years. It was like everything just opened up. And all of these things I'd been interested in, I just thought, I'm going to do this.
Well, you're fortunate. I mean, I've always wanted to be able to do it, but my first interaction with a medium was with a gal. Well, actually, she got me started in the realm. She really did. I have to thank her for it. I was kind of like her secretary. I collected the money and everything, and we had this big, huge group of readers, all kinds, card readers and crystal ball and crystal readers and all that kind of stuff. And I got to know all of them. And this was in Michigan in the Detroit area. And we had this big organization. Well, I was so fascinated by all of them. But now, mind you, Karen, I couldn't do anything. All I could do was what I was doing. But I was always not envious to the point of, oh, God, I can't stand you, but just envious that I couldn't do anything. I kept thinking, how come I can't do any of this? I'm surrounded by it, you know? And I didn't see them really doing anything out of the ordinary. But the lady who ran the thing, she went to a medium, and she invited me to go one time. So I went, and I'll never forget the lady. We were really, and this was kind of like eerie, we were in a dark room. You could see the light in the back. And she started talking in a different voice. And I sat back in the chair and I thought, am I really hearing this or is this, you know, hocus pocus? But it wasn't. She was real.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me some things, about my life, nothing about what I would be doing today, but she just said that I would have a very long life. And, you know, I think you have to go into this, if you're going to go meet with one, with an open mind, and you can't doubt. If you doubt, you're going to doubt. That's it. I mean, they could float across your lawn, anybody who does things like this, and you still wouldn't believe it, even if you saw it. Now, the only, you know, some people are just gifted in certain ways, I think. Don't you agree?
I do, but I also think that everyone has these abilities.
Yeah, could be.
And I'm a huge believer that everyone, it starts with intuition, right? But
yes,
we all receive it differently. And we all have all of these filters that we've put in place, whether it's through the way we were raised. Like I say, mine was my religious upbringing and my just, I was very interested in the sciences and scientific stuff and all of those things, right? And so we have all these filters and conditioning because that's not something that we talk about in polite society is people being, you know, people being psychic. And my grandmother
A conduit for someone, exactly.
My grandmother was this incredible psychic woman, but she was also a very staunch Catholic. And so she would not, I mean, I never heard her acknowledge it, but she would be, I would come out on Christmas morning and she would be on the floor under the Christmas tree, her butt up in the air, touching all of the packages and saying what was in every single package. I mean, so she was clearly very
Oh my gosh. How sweet
she,
is that?
But she, right, but she would never have believed that. And so she
wouldn't have turned around and said, well, you know, I really know what's in this box, but I'm not going to say. But you knew it.
Yeah.
You knew it, huh?
Yeah. She would just say, well, I'm really good at guessing from the size or from the – and because those are those filters that we create, right? And so all she needed to do was touch that package. So she clearly had some psychometry as an ability, the ability to touch something and feel – the energy from that and pick up what it is. She had that ability, which I do as well. But she would, she had filters and she never would have, she never would have admitted it because she was this very, very strict Catholic. She was a Roman Catholic.
So was I.
When I was a kid, I went to mass in Latin with her, you know.
I went every day before I went to high school. Can you imagine? Every morning we went. I mean, my goodness.
I actually was Catholic, but I did go to Catholic church with my grandma a few times. So, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that strange? Well, I'm listening to you, and I'm not envious, but I am, because the only thing I get, and I've never, I mean, and I had a dear friend who passed away that used to co-host the show, and she would talk to me. She was a medium, and she would talk to me about things, but the only thing I get is just before I wake up, I'll hear a phone ring one time. It's not my phone. Or I'll hear a different sound. I mean, I've heard of the four knocks on the wall. You've heard of that. I've had that happen to me. And I had a harp play just before I woke up. I could hear somebody, an angel, stroking a harp. I don't get anything while I'm awake, ever. I really, really don't. And I don't know why. I had a friend tell me, she says, well, you do so much. Can you imagine how boggled your mind would be? And I said, well, I don't know. I think I could handle it. But why do you think that, Karen? Why are some just, they get these little tidbits and that's all there is? I mean, I'm very open to it because of the field that I'm in. I mean, I have had Planet Stars since 1998, and then Stars, I've had that for 10 years. So I don't know.
Sure.
I don't have an answer for anybody. Strange.
Well, so you're very obviously clairaudient, right? Because the way that you're receiving information is you're hearing things. And you may have other things that are subtle that you don't recognize. But you said something to me that I think explains why it's not happening when you're awake. You said, I don't have that. I never get that. And
correct.
Those create, and that language creates
they create blocks. Oh,
yes,
you're right. Yes. Well, she doesn't think she has it, so why should we bother? Yeah.
Right. And so what I would say is change that thought, and that's a very deeply patterned thought, right? You've had that for years. But you can change that thought. You can change that thought to when you catch yourself having it, because the first thing you have to do is catch yourself having that thought, because it probably repeats hundreds of times a day over and over, and you never even notice it, because that's the way our self-talk happens, right? It's just kind of our background noise. So you set the intention that I'm going to catch myself having this thought. And then when you notice yourself having that thought, or speaking it or writing it down or whatever it is, change the thought to, I am open to receiving psychic information. I am open to receiving intuitive information. And I think you can change that pattern and that belief no matter how deeply set in. And so I think that's why a lot of people don't recognize how they receive it. For instance, one of the ways that I am signaled that I am about to receive psychic information is that I smell ozone. And for years, I just, and it, I mean, why would that even occur to me that that was like a psychic thing, right? And
right.
So I would just think, am I having a stroke? What's happening?
You know? What's going on? Right.
Until I actually quieted down and started to make those associations. So somebody may feel pressure in their ears, and that's the psychic information trying to come through. That's a really subtle sign. They just may think, well, you know, like when you go up in elevation and your ears need to pop. And so they
right.
just may think that their ears need to pop when actually that's that psychic information start to leach through. We're so busy and we make ourselves so busy in our lives and we keep
yeah.
ourselves so distracted by everything that I think that we don't sit and notice. And we don't notice patterns and pay attention, and we explain everything away because of those filters and beliefs
yes,
and self-talk.
You're right.
That
you're right.
Place.
You're right. Now, I can
yeah.
read cards pretty well. I mean, I can do them very well. And now
yeah.
I started working with charms. I got this fascination with charm readings. And I've got a bunch of them. This lady even sent me extras. She said, there's two charms that I'm sending to you, and they keep going into your container, that they belong to you. One of them is Believe, and the other one is Fearless. She says, that's what you are. And I am fearless. I am that. And I do believe. So when I start doing my cards from now on, or my charms, and I'll be offering those on the site, I'm going to say I'm open to all the information that I'm going to receive, and throw them out. Now, I'm pretty good at interpreting them, actually. So, I don't know. I have to find my... What?
Then you are a little more psychic than you think.
My son always tells me, you know, Mom, you're really the best on your side. You just don't do it. I'll send him a text. Oh, you're home now. And he'll say, well, how do you know I'm home? I don't know. I just sent it. And that's what
Mother's
I do.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, yep. sometimes it's more pronounced, I suppose, and like you. So what, and I want to get into your book. I don't mean to keep talking about what you do because you've got another book coming out. So when you started recognizing things, it became more and more and more for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Once I started to, so here's what I think happened. With people, because this is what happens with me. And of course, I'm not like the template for every human on the planet, but I can sort of extrapolate from what I've experienced and what my journey is, what other people might as well. So what I think happens is that we have in our minds that psychic information is going to appear in a certain way. I mean, we even have, we call them psychic visions, for heaven's sake, right?
Yeah.
And so we think that it's going to be like you see somebody standing in front of you, and often it's not. It's very, very, especially when we haven't worked with those abilities, it starts with these very small, subtle, fleeting sensory cues that we almost dismiss, or it because it doesn't look like something psychic, we would never consider it psychic. So, for instance, you go into an antique store, and you pick up a vase, and a picture of a room with the vase in it flashes through your mind super fast, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just think, oh, well, I'm imagining what that vase must have looked like in its place. Well, how do you know that that's not actually the beginnings of psychic information? But because we immediately explain it away, we don't follow that intuitive thread, because we have our filters in place. And so that's why things like meditation and mindfulness are super
yeah.
helpful. What I tell people is people almost immediately when they have an experience, even before the experience is over, they're either dismissing or judging the experience. And dismissing is a form of judging, by the way. They're judging that experience and evaluating it before the experience is even over. So what I suggest to people that they try to do if they want to develop these abilities, right, is that I suggest that they actually be in the moment and don't evaluate or judge or dismiss the experience.
Just let it run.
Let
yourself just let it go.
It all the way through, and then think about it later.
Well, you know, the first not one of the first phone rings that I ever got. I mean, it's just one ring. I mean, one of them actually woke me up. I thought it was my phone ring. And then I realized, mm-hmm. No, you're not crazy. It's not your. Then it happened again. And then it happened again. And sometimes mm-hmm. I think it's my co-host, Maya. I think it's her because she knew I could hear. And that would be one of the ways that she would try to reach me. It's just, you know, we were very close, like sisters. And I would say to her, well, why don't you ask your guys? She would say to me, well, I'll go convene with them, and we would laugh. Convene was a favorite word of mine. And I really think it's probably her. And that's what I'm going to always go with. It's her just saying hello or I'm here with you, you know.
After that, when you hear the phone ring or the voice or the music or whatever it is that wakes you up, and I have that sometimes too, like a voice that'll wake me up, things like that. And so what I would suggest is that you just lie there and pay attention to all of your senses, including your mind's eye senses. So seeing pictures in your mind, hearing sounds, mm-hmm. snippets of words, thoughts that come to you. For some people, it just comes as a download of information where you didn't know something and suddenly you know it, right?
Yeah.
And that's really easy to dismiss. Oh, that's my imagination. A lot of the inner dialogue and a lot of the imagination things we think we have are just we're not listening to our intuitive guidance. And so if you can just expand the time from the minute you get the signal, right? You mm-hmm. recognize there's a very clear signal. So if you can just expand the time between you getting the signal and just being in awareness, that time that you're in awareness before you start to think about it or act, just even stretch it by half a second at first, right?
Right, and you know, talking to you is making a lot of sense, and, you know, everything is divine order, and maybe me talking, that's what I had to hear. I have had to hear it from somebody who knows. I mean, I've had people on my show, but nobody like you. I mean, there's a feeling with you that I'm listening and I'm believing you, you know. I haven't really seen anything. And some people say, oh, yeah, I saw that. I knew that was going to happen. Well, I don't – I've had things happen where I knew was probably an archangel, and I almost died when I was 32. And, oh, you're going to love this one. I woke up, my room was glowing a golden yellow. Well, I knew it was to heal me. I mean, right away, that was what I thought.
Yeah.
But I opened and closed my eyes, and I thought, God, this is really some dream I'm having here. Looked up, the light wasn't on. I turned around, and there was about a 7-foot crystal on my back wall. Now, that's where the glow was coming from. Now, Maya... And she told me this when I interviewed her. She says, don't tell me what you saw. I already know. And she said, don't you know what that was? And I said, no. Well, you know, all the psychics that I knew in this group said, oh, yeah, it was to heal you. And I argued with them. I said, not just to heal me. I had to see it. I could have been sleeping and all this happened, and I wouldn't have known any different, right? Maya told me. She said, this was either God or one of his archangels. She said, this was huge. She said, so whatever you were told before, don't pay any attention to it. She says, I've never seen anything like this, but you have. And then later on in my life, I never saw it again, but it's still in my head. I would get some things. We were almost in an accident, and my son and I saw the wheel turn all the way, and he didn't turn it because he got out of the car, and he grabbed me and said, Mom, did you see that? I said, yeah, I saw it. He said, I didn't do that. You can't turn a wheel that far. We missed. It would have been a fatal accident for us. And that's the only kinds of things I've ever recognized. I'll say, and he'd look at me and say, but you know what it is. And I know. I saw it. Seeing is believing, right? But I don't know. The crystal, I try not to bring it up all the time because people hear it on the radio. But when I get somebody like you, what do you think it was, Karen?
Well, so it sounds to me like you get the big signs, right? So
well, that was
that
a big one.
You
yeah.
Signs. First, because you actually are getting the small signs, but you're not recognizing those. Okay. Or you're talking yourself out of them. So you're getting the big signs because this is something that's really important for you. So what I actually see when I don't actually think it was a big crystal, to be quite honest. It looked like a light being was there.
Mm-hmm. It just looked like a crystal to me, you know.
Yes. Well, you have to translate it into something that makes sense because that's what our brains do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is pure energy from spirit. And we are, even though we're spirits in a human body, again, I mentioned filters, and I mention them a lot because I really do think we have these little filters in place so that we can have a human experience. Otherwise, we would be just like, I mean, there would be no reason for the human experience because we would be in our soul state and we would be these awesome magical beings that we are even while we were in our bodies. And we have the human experience for a reason. And so our filters turn things, like even when I get messages from spirit, it turns things into things I recognize. So the smell of ozone is probably some energetic thing that I can't recognize. And the only way I can translate it is, well, I smell ozone.
So this was a light being that came to me. Yes, it was healing. There wasn't anything any doctor in the Detroit area could do for me. Something got a hold of me, and I could hardly stand. My numbers came back cuckoo, really high. I was just going into the doctors every day for a vitamin B12 and a gamma globulin because they were afraid that if I was exposed to something, it would take my life. I mean, because that's how I was with my numbers. They were out of sight. There was another man who was similar to me, but not as bad as me. I do know it was to heal me, though. Or, you know, I'm seeing this a little differently now talking to you. Maybe this was the start of something so that, okay, she sees this. But why me, Karen? Well, I've had a long life, and I've had a very good life, you know.
Yeah.
I can't deny that, even though, you know, I had pneumonia all the time and all that kind of stuff, but I pulled through everything, and it was almost like I had a big purpose, only I didn't even know what it was. You know, but I never thought of it as a light being. I love that.
Well, I have kind of a weird question about it, so please bear with me.
Okay.
When you saw the crystal.
Yes.
Did you also have a vision where you saw yourself in the bed?
Oh, yeah, I was there. Yeah, I sat up. I looked around. Because the whole room was lit, like you turned on this massive light, but it was a yellowish light.
Like back at yourself.
Yeah, and so,
as well.
And for some reason I turned around, and I looked behind me, and there was this huge, and I thought to myself, okay, well, this is where the light's coming from. You would have thought I would have stayed up and looked at it for hours. I didn't. I fell back to sleep.
Because you knew what it was. So what I actually think is that I think that two things were happening. Something was happening with your body, right? Clearly. And dealing with your body. But I also think that part of you, your higher self, was with that light being creating the healing. And that's why you could also look back and see yourself in the bed. So you were seeing it from these two viewpoints, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It was shocking. I mean, when I think about it, why did I fall asleep? I could have stared at that till the sun came up, but maybe not. It could have disappeared too.
You needed to process all of that. And by that, I mean that even though healing can happen instantaneously, we are still limited by the fact that we have these meat puppets we walk around in, right? We still have bodies.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was just the most beautiful. I have the date, and I have a picture of it. I drew it the next morning. I drew it, and I put the date on. I don't know what time it was, but it was dark. But I will tell you what else I can do, and I did this with Maya. I said to her, I will be there with you. And she would have these little things and procedures done. And she would call me, and she said, you know, I felt you here. I said, well, and I've done this before. I did this with another friend of mine who was having, I mean, she's had all kinds of things. And I said, I'll be there. You'll see. I'll be there. And she felt me. She said, the whole time I was having this procedure, I kept thinking of Natalie. Natalie. That's all I kept thinking of was you. And she came out of it, and I said, well, you're good, right? And she said, yeah. But she said, why can't you do this with everybody? I said, and I had my own explanation. Listen to this. I said, if your name is on the books, I can't do anything. I cannot help you through something. I'm not saying I'm this massive healer, but I can't. That's what I told myself, I can't. If when your name is on the books or on the page, as I say, I can't get it off that page. I can't take it off. I already knew that. And so I can do that. So, I mean, it's really funny because Maya was the one, she said, oh, no. She says, I felt you here. I said, well, Maya, you know, you're a medium and you love me because we were like sisters, you know. And no. She says, I wouldn't tell you something that wasn't true. No, absolutely not. You know, she was going to yell at me. No, you can do that. So maybe that's one of my gifts, too. I don't know.
Part of you astrally travels. You may not consciously be aware that you do it, but that's part of what's happening. And I almost wonder if also sometimes what you hear when you're waking up is like that you slip out while you're asleep and you travel, you do the astral travel while you're asleep. And part of what you experience when you wake up with the sounds and things is actually you coming back into your body.
Could be. I believe everything. I mean, but sometimes it's really strange and people are probably thinking, yeah, I know what they're talking about. But, you know, even my son, when my husband passed away, and he believes, but he's not like me. You know, he questions everything. Now, he doesn't question me when I tell him something, but he questions things. Well, he was on the job and he said, I'm telling you, Mom, I looked at the garage opening and I saw Dad walk by. I said, well, why are you doubting that? He said, because you know how I am. I said, well, why don't you think it wasn't him? Sometimes you can smell aftershave, or I could smell, my mother used to wear Taboo, and I would walk into a room, and she had passed, and I'd smell Taboo. Well, that's an old perfume or cologne that women used years ago. And he smelled it, too.
I have to remember.
Yes. So I told him. I said, don't think it wasn't him. Maybe he was trying to ease you a little bit. I mean, he still has a tough time. But I said maybe that was his way of saying I'm with you, because he would always work with him. See? And so these little things, now I'm more in tune. See, I just knew having you on the show, there was something about you. And I didn't read anything about you either. I mean, I've got your site up here and we're talking. But okay, that's enough about me, because people are probably saying, okay, this is not a class for Natalie. let's talk about your latest book that you have. Well, you have one coming out in February, correct?
I have one coming out on the 15th. Yeah, actually the Kindle version is out now. It's called Essential Crystal Meditation.
Right. I see it on your site.
It's all about using crystals as tools for meditation, taking your meditation level to the next practice, or taking your crystal use to the next, or your meditation practice to the next level, or taking your crystal use to the next level. They go beautifully together, and so I was really thrilled to have the opportunity to create some meditations and explain to people how they could work well together.
I can't imagine you not doing something really great. You also have classes coming. I've been looking at them. Now, you have one starting on February 13th, the Intro to Crystals, and then an online for Edgar Cayce. What was he, the silent prophet? Is that what he was, or what was he called?
Yeah, he was the sleeping prophet.
Yeah. I think he started, well, he didn't start it. I just have something in my magazine about Stalin actually had a psychic. He had a medium that was around him, even though he was, like, off the wall. I mean, you know, I could tell him a few things. But anyways, but you've got Awaken Your Intuition, Oregon Ghost Conference. Oh, that's actually in Oregon. You have some things that are online, I'm seeing here. I like this. I like this a lot.
Yeah.
How do you click more for more information? I'm going to click. I want everybody to know about this because you are really, everybody is talented, but you've just got this great way of explaining things, and there are no doubts. This is it. I'm listening to you. I know. And I have interviewed hundreds of readers. I know. I've been doing this for many years. And I know a good one when I hear one or when I see one, and that's what you are. So you have this intro to crystals, okay, and they're not expensive.
No. So basically this year I'm actually starting to – I haven't done anything live as far as classes in a couple of years. And this year I am starting to do a few live, and I'm kind of mixing the live and online. So, for instance, I'll be at the Oregon Ghost Conference in April. I'm doing a sound healing, and I'm teaching an energy healing classes there as well. And then the Intro to Crystals class on the 13th is live online.
Yes, I see that.
The Awaken Your Intuition for Personal Empowerment is live online via the Edgar Cayce Association, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. It's really affordable. It's only $24, I think, to sign up for that.
Well, that's right. You know, I'm looking at these. I mean, I could certainly afford these. I mean, okay, so you have an intuition tune-up. Now, is that for beginners? Would that be for somebody like me? Or would mine be, the listeners are going to say, well, I don't know which one to take. Or Awaken Your Intuition, maybe for people who feel things, sense things, but really don't know what to do with them. I don't know. Explain your classes.
So the Awaken Your Intuition is something that the Edgar Cayce Association asked me to teach online. And so it's going to cover a lot of things in my book, The Ultimate Guide to Psychic Abilities. And so we're going to go over things like that, just like some of the things we've been talking about today, right? Like, how do we recognize when we get the signals and the ways that the information comes to us and things like that. The tune-up is one that I'm doing myself via my website. It's also online. And I actually had that one scheduled, and that Edgar Cayce Association asked me to do it. But the intuition tune-up is going to be more exercises to really strengthen that intuition muscle, because I think what happens is when your intuition, it goes unused, it gets quieter and quieter and quieter. So it's going to be workshopping ways to build that muscle so that
that
it
might
becomes
be like
something
for me. Awaken your intuition, probably,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, that would be good for me. A crystal grid class actually in Virginia Beach, Virginia, in April at the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment. I am flying out there to do that. I'm really looking forward to doing that because that is sound healing, sound bath at the Oregon Ghost Conference, and the energy healing, Awaken Your Inner Energy Healer class I'm teaching at the Oregon Ghost Conference. Those are really my first return to live teaching in since 2020. So.
Yeah, exactly. Some of these things are Zoom. You're going to do those on Zoom, right, which is so wonderful because it makes everything available to everybody. I meet this gal who does some artwork for me. She's in Africa, and we Zoom on Saturdays. And she's over there. And, you know, it's just, it allows you to connect with everybody, doesn't it? I mean, I'm supposed to be an alchemist also. I mean, I was told that by Combe Holland, and he keeps emailing me, you need to come to our get-together. He says, I want everybody to meet you. And I had a couple of sessions with him. I mean, he just volunteered to do it with me. He said, you're an alchemist. You can do more than I can do. And I said, I can. I didn't know that. But he wants people to meet me. And I get so busy that I forget. I have to write some little notes down because you've got to remember these things. And if you want to advance at all, you don't have to, you know, I shouldn't be saying this, but you can do a lot of things yourself. You don't have to go talk to somebody. You know, you can fine-tune everything for yourself if you want, or get outside counsel, like when they come to my site. And
community is good.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I believe fostering a sense of community and support.
Yes.
I think that sometimes being a psychic and working with energy healing and kind of, I call them the woo-woo arts, because they're kind of considered still woo-woo, it can be a lonely thing. And therefore, I do think that community is good, and that in whatever way you can build community in working with other people, you create a support structure for yourself, you have access to different ideas, and different everybody experiences things differently, right? And
oh, yeah.
So if you can have a community and build a community around you, whether you do it strictly through social media or you do it through Zoom calls or you go to conferences, whatever it is you do, I honestly believe that that is the best way. And I also think that in building that community, it helps us to we've become a very disconnected world in the last couple of years. We've been,
right.
And it's, you dehumanize people when you don't
right.
interact with them than to yell at them on Facebook because you disagree with them, right?
And well, so, I was talking to my friend today about that. People, and we were laughing. She said, you're right. I said, they're so opinionated, and if they would just keep their mouth shut and let things play out. They want to take these pieces in this puzzle and put them into squares that are not squares. They're really circles. And I just hold my head and I think, why don't they just speak for a little while?
That's what's
on the social media. That's the bad part about it. The good part about it is it connects you with everybody. And like when I do my talks with my my authors and whoever they are, I've had a variety on. A gentleman told me, he said, you are putting out food for the soul. He told me, he warned me, he said, don't you ever stop what you're doing. He said, because you see, people that don't know who you are, now they're going to know who you are. Because Candy, who's in the chat room right now, she promoted you. You're everywhere, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. You're everywhere. And that's what she does for everything. I mean, that's her talent. She's really gifted like that. But, you know, when we do things like this, it's not for self. Like, I don't do this because it sets me up higher. I don't do it that way. I want everybody to know who you are. And otherwise, they may not know who you are. And that's exactly what happens is this is good. My son says, why do you do this for all these people? Because I love it, and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I really do. Look what I've learned already today. I mean, it's like a one-on-one talk with Karen Fraser, you know, on Zoom. It's the same kind of thing. Now tell me something about your consultations. Are they costly? Like a psychic reading? Let me click on it. I'll find out. I'll tell you.
I don't charge a ton for them. Basically, I charge for my time. I work a full-time job. And so
you do?
Oh,
my goodness gracious.
I do. You would be surprised to know that I am a writer and an editor. Shocking, right?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. No.
Yeah, I have a full-time job as well. And so I set aside Tuesday afternoons and two Thursday evenings. And so I charge about $100 for an hour, and I think like $55 for 30 minutes. And that
you're cheap.
Is just me.
No, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
No, you're giving is what it is. I mean, you're just people don't understand, but it's one thing to get something free, but it's a way of I'm helping you, you're helping me. You're that energy is going back and forth because sometimes people I find that on my site. They want everything for free, and they don't understand that the people that are on my site, I mean, some of them, this is their living, and it's not fair to them. You know, I mean, I can compensate with minutes, but I'm very careful because I'm not going to ask one of my staff to say, well, I need you to do this 30-minute reading for nothing. Oh, no, no, never. I would never do that. I would never do that. I mean, if I want to do it, that's up to me. But I don't, right. No, I can't do that. But you see, there are some readers out there, though, Karen, that charge a lot of money.
I know.
And there's one, and I'm not going to mention his name. He was supposed to come on my show, and he canceled the morning of. Well, he charges $450 for an hour. He didn't even write to me and say, I'm really sorry, Natalie. I had Candy promoting him. You can bet he'll never be on my show. I don't care who he is. That was very disrespectful to me. So you see, what he's doing is he's using his gift to make a really good living. And, you know, and we were going to promote him. And I guess I wasn't highfalutin enough or something like that. And then there was another man that did it. But other than that, I just, you know, okay, that's good. You do your thing. And I'm going to, it's not going to stop me from having beautiful people like yourself on my show who really care and want to help. I mean, you're not in it for the money. It's so obvious.
Well, and I have no problem. I want to make it clear, though, I have no problem with people making a living from their gifts. God gave us these gifts, right?
That's right.
From the universe. And absolutely, we live in a world where people need to eat. You know, people need a roof over their head. People would like to maybe travel sometimes. And so I have zero problem with anybody making a living from using their gifts
either.
In their way.
I'm just saying about this person that obviously I didn't mean anything. Or he would have sent me a note, I'm really sorry, Natalie, but something came up. I heard nothing. And that did something to me because I thought, you know, I'm getting my gal to promote you. I mean, it didn't sit good with me at all. And this is what you do? No, I don't think so. And I'm not ever going to mention his name. That's his to do. That's on his shoulders. But somewhere down the road, it's going to bite him. Because you have to be a good person, Karen. You have to care. No matter whether I'm the late head of Hopper, no matter who I am, I'm giving up my time. And I would never do that to anybody. I don't care how big I was. I don't care. And neither would you. And you're just as big as he is.
I don't feel like, no. I don't, but I also don't think, I mean, even like, I don't think I'm super big, right? So I write a lot of books. I'm lucky. I get to teach things, things like that. But it's not about me. It's about me in that it's life much more enjoyable to be able to do things that feel like they have meaning to me. But other than that, I truly believe that I was given these gifts and I was given the ability to write. I was given my musical abilities and all of these things for a reason. I believe that they were given to me by the universe so that I could use them to enrich the lives of other souls also walking around in human bodies. And so I do that the best way I can. And
Doesn't it make you happy?
Oh, very happy.
I'm on a high when I do my magazine and when I talk to my guests.
Sure.
I'm on a high. I mean, nothing is going to stop me. I mean, I'm just floating in the air because I'm so happy with what I'm doing, and I'm allowing you to converse with me and show your gifts, and I just love it, and I just love you immediately, and I'm going to get a reading from you. I am.
Cool.
You can guide me in my business and my magazine. You know, but it's a tough field right now to be in. I have to say that out loud. I understand it. And, you know, the smaller sites, and I'm not as big as some of them out there, they're having difficulties too. But you know what I think to myself? Go ahead, spend all your money. Spend all your money on advertising. It's not going to make a difference because everybody is hurting right now, all of us. in some fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Some form. So if you want to spend $10,000 on a television ad, go ahead. Because I know what I'm doing, and I do, you know, and I care. I have, I don't know how many that are on the site, and some of them make money, some of them don't right now, and I feel horrible about it. But yet, there's a part of me that keeps taking, take another step, keep moving forward. Hang on. Just hang on.
People need this. Yeah. People really, really need this right now. People need people who can help them to really find their own power.
Yeah,
power
exactly.
To do
yes.
That. And I, that's what I am, is I'm in the empowerment business. I tell people all this. This is my really terrible business plan, because I tell people all the time, you don't really need me. You don't really need to read my books, which I know.
Yeah,
I'm not
you're just
you have
inside and out. There's just this wonderful feeling. It's just that you know you wouldn't hurt anybody. You would not hurt anybody. And I'm the same way. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you what I've done for people. But that's okay. You know, I feel good about myself, and I have great health, and I've had a long life so far. Hopefully, another 10 years. And because I have a lot more things to do, and I talk to God every day. Sometimes it's, you know, okay, this is going really good. And sometimes I'll just say, you know, you got to knock this stuff off, because what's going on? And then I'll cite some things, and I'll laugh, and I'll say, I bet you just hate when I talk to you every day, don't you? Because sometimes I feel like it's a dissertation, you know, because I just want to. You know, I had an author write me something because he's in my magazine, and I was telling him about the deer in my backyard, and he wrote to me, and he says, you know, Natalie, why they come is because they feel your love for them. They know. They know you love them, and I do. I mean, I feed 8 deer every – I've got bags of food. I cut carrots up and apples, and I can sit and watch them on my little camera that I have on them. I can see it on my phone. And I'm in my glory. I could watch them all night. I think one of them is going to have a little one, I think. I mean, I got this feeling about her. And I hope I have a little fawn. Oh, my gosh. But that is my thing that I give to the earth. Back, I feed them. I said, my son said, well, Mom, you're spending a lot of money. I said, I'll eat a can of tuna. Every day if I have to, just so long as I can feed them. And that's how I feel, because I love all of them. I love all the animals, everything. I love everything. And that was a nice thing that he said to me. It's because they feel your love. The love is, you're drawing it. You're drawing them to you because of your love, he said. Yes, isn't that nice? I mean, he's... Yeah, he's been writing. Many of them have been writing for many, many years, you know. And what I'm going to do, because Lydia is your publicist, is I'm going to go back and get something else from you to put in the magazine, because I know, I believe Jackie has done some reviews or something, and I'd have to look on the magazine, but I know you're there. I know it. And I don't know that you're in the current issue. I'm going to go back quickly while I've got you on the phone. I've got some new people writing for the magazine now, too. It's strange, but I always, felt that this was my dark horse. I was kind of, I didn't know what it was going to do, what it wouldn't do, and I have ideas to make it be a flip magazine, you know, and with that, I can take big classifieds, I can take banner ads, I can do anything I want, and that's what I want to do with it. I already have it. I just, this girl in Africa, she's just this designer, and I don't pay her very much. I give her extra, but, you know, she says, you don't have a lot of money right now. Don't worry about it. But listen to this. Now, this is Africa. You're going to find this interesting. I said, well, what I pay you per hour, what does that get you? And she said, one dinner. I pay her $6 an hour. That's in Africa. And this girl, Candy, Candy, I've had Candy doing work for me for I don't know how long. She'll probably type it in the chat right now that she knows. But you see, what you like to have around you, and this is for anybody doing anything, is you have to have people that really love you and care about you, because then they're going to do their very best for you. Because people say, well, how do you find these people? They find me. And that's how it goes. Same thing with you. You know, I know you're in here somewhere, Karen. I know. Jackie did something on you. I'll find it. But I'm going to have Lydia send me more, like, excerpts or something from you. I mean, I know you're busy with your life and your time and all of this. You have a full-time job. But I want to keep bringing you out in every issue that I can, because it's important.
Okay.
I think it's important for everybody to know about you. I'll put your classes in there, whatever I need to do. So I'll have a little chat with her, and we'll connect something to get you more out of my magazine, because believe it or not, it's pretty well known. I mean, it's been around since 1999, and I've been doing it. I'm the only person that's ever done it. And so I just think that even though you don't see somebody's reading it, or you don't know, I mean, I have the stats on it, you just know. I just know, because people keep wanting to participate, to contribute stuff to me. I'm just so blessed. I really, really am. See how blessed I am? I have all kinds of people.
You are.
I have a lady.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have a lady that's listening right now to us, and she's going to tell me something. Oh, you two really connected or something. She's on right now. She's going to say something. She always does. She listens faithfully to every show I have as best as she can. And I can't wait to talk to you one-on-one, because you, in my book, are top drawer, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. You know, I have always believed that if I write a book and only one person reads it, I wrote that book for that person. So
that's right.
No effort ever wasted. So
no.
Even if I, one reader, and one listener, and what, you know, all of those things. It's for them that I did that. The universe guided me there, and it guided them there so that they could have what they needed.
And I want to give your site information, not to interrupt you, but it is author, A-U-T-H-O-R, Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Frazier, FRAZIER.com. And it's I want everybody to go there. And then on her private consultation, she's got this beautiful pink flower. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I love deep blues, and I love that pink that you've got there. See? Perfect.
No.
You're
perfect
in every way. You're perfect. Just perfect.
No mistakes.
And I worked my magic. I did. Let's see. Well, before you go, I want to see what she said. She said, oh, yes, I am a friend, she's saying, and I like your visitors. You do good. Yeah, she listens every week. Even the men, you know, sometimes you have to talk to men and you think, oh, God, this is going to be like pulling teeth. And it goes so good. So I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and so are you, lovely lady. So are you.
100%.
Yes.
100%.
So, you have a good evening.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm going to try to get something for March for you in the I know Lydia very well. Trust me. And I'm going to get something in there. Pardon me?
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you
so
much.
Oh, have a good evening. And you're sweet. And I'll be talking to you soon, okay?
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, everybody, with that, we had Karen Frazier, and again, her site is, I'm going to go back and tell you again before we disconnect here. It's author, A-U-T-H-O-R, Karen, K-A-R-E-N, FRAZIER.com. And she's got all kinds of readings that she offers. She's going to have classes starting next month, and she's got an abundance of books that Oh, my goodness, so much she's got on her site. Very, very talented and sweet, sweet lady. So next week my show is going to be at 6, from 6 to 7. Then I have another one the following week. It's going to be at 10 a.m. And then I have another person at 2 p.m. And I'm going to be bringing back, and I know Candy's listening, I'm going to be bringing back Barbara Berger. She's in the Netherlands, and I'm going to book her sometime in March. And, oh, that's my buddy. She's in the magazine. She's just written for the magazine for so long. And then also in the magazine, I'm going to have a sidebar for my friend, Dr. Stuart Bickoff. He's been writing for the magazine for a really long, long time, and I have had him on the show a couple times, and just a tremendous, and he said, how about I do this for you? But we have to figure out a way to have it go every 2 weeks. Well, Tony's already figured it out. So, you know, we're going to have that, and hopefully I'll get this new version of the magazine up and be looking for the new, you know, stars with a Z, psychics.com. I mean, it's the new site is going to be different. It's still going to have Natalie on it, like, you know, my colors, maybe just not the solid blue. I'm going to have the universe with a little bit of pretty blue under it. I mean, I already know. I see it, and I've already seen it, and I know it's beautiful. And some turquoise in there, so you're going to love it. You're just going to love it. Anyways, everybody have a great week, what's left of it. And we are going to party now, dance. Gabby Ray, you know, someday I'd like to have her on the show. I'll have to tell Candy that. Well, she's listening anyways, but we're going to do that. Oh, Candy has been assisting me since 2012. Wow, Candy, that's a long time. And she does such a great job. You know what she does, and I'm talking a little bit, is she takes videos, and she'll put them there, and I get a notice on my phone. You know, or I'll get, well, somebody accessed your account. Oh, yeah, that's just Candy. Don't worry about it. And I'll go there, and she's got this beautiful video with this beautiful music. Isn't that tremendous? I mean, she just, that's something that she does very, very well. So now she said, dance party. Yeah, we're going to do the dance party. So this is Gabby Ray, and this is her song, Free to Love, and we're going to play it right now. Oh, and before when it's done, I'll say it right now, like I do every time I'm on the air, is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Okay, here we go with Gabby Ray and Free to Love.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors. So get the chip off your shoulder. Hey!
everybody. Good night, Candy. Thank you. See you next week. Remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye.